Why would an endocrinologist think twice about putting plastics in the microwave? It sounds like a lame riddle, but it's actually a very complicated question. So for a large portion of this edition of Sound Medicine, with the help of independent producer Shia Levitt, we're going to dig into what is in some plastics that has some scientists concerned and what you as a consumer can do to learn more and protect yourself. We are talking about the intersection of plastics and hormones.
What do hormones do? I think it's better to say, what don't they do in our bodies? Because they really do help regulate and control communication between all of the organs of our body.
That's developmental biologist Laura Vandenberg. We'll hear more from her in just a while. But let's start with the basics. A plastic bottle, say a baby bottle or a sports drink, can contain from 2 to 200 different chemicals, from softeners or hardeners to dyes or paints, additives that help plastic maintain a shape or make it more durable or rubbery or elastic. But various chemicals found in plastics, chemicals called endocrine disruptors, have come under scrutiny recently for their ability to act like hormones, which can contribute to a whole host of diseases and other health problems. The plastics getting the most attention are ones that come in contact with food and drinks, as well as children's toys that might wind up in a baby's mouth. While drugs must be tested and shown as safe before they go to market, U.S. law assumes most consumer products, like baby toys, are safe unless proven otherwise. Manufacturers don't have to disclose their ingredients to consumers. Food contact items are an exception. The FDA has to be reasonably sure that the chemicals in them won't cause harm. But here is where it gets even more complicated. The approach taken by regulators and industry to determine if a chemical is safe has been to see if chemicals act like poisons, and generally not whether they act like hormones. Once approved, it's difficult to get a chemical taken off the list, even when new research emerges. So we asked Shia Levitt to check in with scientists at the forefront of research on endocrine-disrupting chemicals and plastics to ask this question. How strong is the evidence that small amounts of chemicals leaching from plastics can affect your health? That's where she started.
A main health concern from plastics centers on chemicals that can leach from food packaging into our diet or from toys directly into a baby's mouth. Several of these chemicals fall into a group called endocrine-disrupting chemicals, or EDCs. Endocrine-disrupting chemicals are compounds, or mixtures of compounds, that interfere in some way with how hormones work in our body. If you've heard the term before, it may be from two that have been in the news lately, bisphenol A, or BPA, a chemical used in hard and clear plastics, and phthalates, which can help make plastics softer. France banned BPA from all food contact items. In the U.S., although BPA and some phthalates have both been banned from certain baby products, the Food and Drug Administration maintains that current approved uses of BPA in food containers and packaging are safe. But a growing body of scientific evidence links higher levels of hormone-disrupting chemicals in the body with higher levels of a wide range of diseases and conditions. Infertility, birth defects, learning disorders, and cardiovascular disease are among many harmful impacts that global experts say can be attributed in part to EDC exposure. A series of recent studies estimated that these exposures likely cost Europe more than $200 billion annually in healthcare expenses and lost wages. It's easy for the public to get lost in this debate. Deborah Karash is a developmental biologist and an endocrinologist at the University of Calgary.
There is also a fatigue with the public. Any given day, there's a piece of news that is one more thing they need to be careful about, and they just stop listening because it seems like a controversial subject, and until it's decided, maybe they don't need to weigh in on it.
So we wanted to speak with some of the scientists studying plastics and the impacts of endocrine disruptors on health and ask, where does the current science stand, and what are their concerns about plastics? Turns out, Karash says, it isn't all that controversial among certain scientists. There's almost universal acceptance among endocrinologists that a lot of the chemicals we're exposed to, whether from plastics, pesticides, or cosmetics, can act as endocrine disruptors and cause our bodies harm.
The evidence is so strong within the scientific literature that there are very low doses of these compounds affect a wide variety of diseases and developmental processes, and that there just really isn't much evidence otherwise. And we're able to reproduce each other's studies, and collectively, the burden of proof has been met for us in that with 95% confidence, we believe that this is real.
Hormones affect our brain development, immune system, and cell growth, also sperm levels, genital formation, and a host of other things. Our endocrine system, the one that regulates our body's hormones, helps us maintain our body weight and temperature. In a newly forming fetus, hormones help tell cells which organs or body parts to become. Our body's sensitivity to hormonal changes, especially at key times in our lives, like in the womb, is part of why there's growing attention to compounds that can mimic or disrupt how hormones work in the body. Andrea Gore is editor of the journal Endocrinology and author of the Endocrine Society's scientific statement on endocrine-disrupting chemicals.
There's still a debate going on. The vast majority, and I mean pretty close to 100% of basic scientists who are doing research in the field in their own labs, find effects of endocrine disruptors on their biological system.
With funding from an NIH grant, a plastic testing company helped carry out the largest and most comprehensive study of its kind, testing more than 450 plastic food and drink containers from stores such as Target, Walmart, Trader Joe's, and Whole Foods. They found that more than 70% of them leached chemicals with estrogenic activity. The number rose to 90% when they tested across a variety of simulated food types. The study suggested that a great majority of commercially available plastics can leach detectable amounts of chemicals with estrogenic activity. In other words, chemicals that could possibly interfere with our hormones. Full disclosure, the companies that ran the study make their money from testing plastics and other products for estrogenic activity and helping manufacturers come up with products that don't leach estrogenic chemicals. Still, other studies have supported the finding that heat, including from sunlight, microwaving, or dishwasher heat, increases the leaching of chemicals from plastics, including endocrine-disrupting ones. This is the case even for several BPA-free products. Developmental biologist Laura Vandenberg says both hard and soft plastics are a major source of exposure to chemicals, including hormone-disrupting ones. She wrote one of the largest recent analyses of the existing data on human health impacts from low-dose exposures to EDCs.
Because they can either mimic the actions of hormones or block the actions of hormones, they can shift the developmental trajectory of cells in our bodies. They can change the development of organs during fetal life in ways that we don't necessarily know what the consequence would be.
The effects of endocrine disruptors have been hard to study, in part because they can impact things as diverse as brain development, behavior, and reproduction. They also work in subtle or sometimes unexpected ways. Some animal studies on BPA, for instance, have found impacts transmitted to offspring three generations down the line. Biology professor Thomas Zeller serves on the United Nations Environmental Program's Advisory Group on Endocrine-Disrupting Chemicals.
If we think about what do we think of as toxic, we think of something that makes you sick immediately or kills you. That's not what these endocrine disruptors are doing.
Another reason it's been difficult to study, identify, and regulate these hormone disruptors, there's disagreement over how to test and measure their effects. Traditional toxicology tests used higher doses of a potential poison to predict what a safe lower dose would be. They didn't test to see if predicted safe levels were actually safe, both in adults and in developing fetuses. A consensus of endocrinologists say this method is flawed and outdated. Here's leading developmental endocrinologist Fred Vomsahl.
The Endocrine Society of doctors and scientists who work with the endocrine system and hormones are telling the regulatory community your conclusions of safety of chemicals are based on flawed approaches.
Vomsahl was among the first to test impacts from hormone-disrupting chemicals at the same low levels at which hormones themselves can impact our body. Now, many endocrinologists and more toxicologists are starting to use a similar approach. Vomsahl says regulatory agencies need to test at these extremely low levels and make sure they're safe for babies developing in the womb. Unless they do, he says,
they are never going to be able to determine whether chemicals in the environment that act as endocrine-disrupting chemicals are or are not safe, and that the current approaches are clearly leading to false conclusions of safety.
Unlike with cigarette smoking, where there's a group of non-smokers, there's no control group of non-exposed people for this research. Most of us already have endocrine-disrupting chemicals inside our bodies. Tom Zeller says when pregnant women are exposed, the chemicals can reach developing babies, too, through the umbilical cord.
Every baby born in this country probably has somewhere around 100 individual manufactured chemicals in their cord blood.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention found that 93% of thousands of kids and adults they tested had detectable BPA in their urine. This was at concentrations that had induced effects in some animal studies. The CDC has also found many other chemicals with known endocrine-disrupting activity in our bodies at a similar scale. Again, Deborah Karash.
And I think it's just a matter of time before we talk about endocrine disruptors causing harm, just like we talk about smoking causing harm.
There's no one particular compound or exposure that's the culprit here. It's the combined exposures to numerous chemicals throughout our lives. But changing the way we use plastics is something we can control. And experts say one way we can cut down are potential exposures. More about that in part two.